You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Sunday, August 14th, 2022. Always on my mind. Global refining capacity set to grow, but U.S. gains will be negligible. Published by Robert Hours. The cost of gasoline has garnered a lot of headlines since the start of 2022, with the blame for elevated prices falling on seemingly everything and everyone, from the Biden administration's policies on oil exploration to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, as well as decisions by major U.S. producers and OPEC not to swiftly boost oil production. Another can't-be-ignored culprit is the loss of significant U.S. refining capacity over the last few years, which has limited the ability of refiners to respond to the strong post-COVID demand recovery by ramping up production. By and large, the refineries still operating have been running flat out. In today's RBN blog, we look at the state of global refining, where new capacity is likely to be built, and the headwinds to future investment. About 1 million barrels per day of North American refinery capacity reductions have occurred since 2019, with an additional 400,000 barrels per day planned to be taken offline over the next 2 years, as we outlined in Already Gone, Part 1. The additional closures will, however, be almost exactly offset by two major U.S. refinery expansions, leading to essentially no net change in U.S. refining capacity through 2024. Following more than two decades of U.S. refining capacity growth, the tide shifted in 2019 to 2020 as the push for the energy transition gathered steam and the pandemic caused a record decline in transportation fuel demand. In addition, negative market trends, competitive challenges, both domestic and international, and changing crude supply dynamics caused refiners across the U.S. to comb through their assets for possible consolidation, conversion to biofuels production, or even total plant closure. Facilities on the East and West Coasts felt the most pressure, but even plants operating in previously attractive market environments started to face scrutiny. Looking forward, North American refining capacity will likely avoid the declines expected in much of the developed world, as North American refiners will continue to benefit from cost-advantaged access to U.S. and Canadian crude oil low, relative, natural gas and electricity costs, a comparatively friendly regulatory environment, and growing Latin American demand. Unlike the U.S., Europe has experienced a long-term decline in refining capacity due to sluggish demand and decreased competitiveness. As we detailed in Already Gone Part 2, the continent's refining capacity, excluding Turkey and the Commonwealth of Independent States, or CIS, which includes eight countries that, with Russia, formed the old USSR, has fallen by almost 8 million barrels per day since 1980. Most recently, Europe lost about 3 million barrels per day of refinery capacity from 2006 through 2017 before a brief European spring, inspired by lower crude costs and a bump in demand, led to a few years of better margins. The good times ended with the COVID-related lockdowns, and Europe has lost more than 700,000 barrels per day of refining capacity since the beginning of 2020 through complete and partial closures, with more declines expected by 2024. Capacity reductions are likely to keep happening after 2024 as refiners on the continent continue to be challenged by declining regional product demand and high natural gas, electricity, crude, and labor costs. It's worth noting that while European capacity has moved lower, capacity in the CIS and Turkey has generally ticked higher in recent years. Refining capacity in developed Asia and Oceania, defined here as Japan, South Korea, Taiwan, Australia, and New Zealand, has followed a similar path as Europe for most of the same reasons. These drops in capacity will continue as the trends driving the reduction are only intensifying. In contrast to Europe and developed Asia and, to a lesser extent, the U.S., the trends have been just the opposite for China, India, and the Middle East, with each adding refining capacity over the past decade. The most significant additions have come from China, which has seen capacity jump from about 14.5 million barrels per day in 2014 to nearly 17 million barrels per day in 2022, with an expectation that it will approach 18.2 million barrels per day in 2024. India's capacity is forecast to reach nearly 5.3 million barrels per day in 2024, about 1 million barrels per day since 2014, and the Middle East is expected to hit 11.9 million barrels per day in 2024, 37% increase from 2014 levels. Total capacity in other parts of Asia-Pacific has increased modestly since 2014, while capacity has been mostly flat in Africa and Latin America, though Latin America has suffered from declining refinery utilization, a topic for another blog. In a world where demand for refined products is currently outweighing supply, the prospect of more refining capacity would be a good thing. But it's not that simple. As we noted, China is expected to add about 1.2 million barrels per day of refining capacity by 2024, with one project already processing crude oil, another set to be completed this year, and another scheduled for completion in 2023. But while China may be adding the most capacity, it wants to keep that output at home to meet local demand, and it's possible that exports could decline further even as capacity grows. With no relief likely coming to international markets from China's added refining capacity, Russia's refined product exports take on more importance. As we noted in Back in the USSR, Russia has found a way to maintain most of its crude oil exports despite the wide-ranging sanctions levied against it following its February invasion of Ukraine, but its refined product exports have been more difficult to manage. Russian product exports initially fell by around 750,000 barrels per day, from 3.2 million barrels per day in February to 2.45 million barrels per day in March. But Russia has since found alternative buyers for many of these products, and exports have recovered to above 2.6 million barrels per day. Although this recovery should continue in the short term, exports will likely still be down by about 150,000 barrels per day compared to where they otherwise would have been, 2.75 million barrels per day versus 2.9 million barrels per day. We believe this export rate of around 2.75 million barrels per day is a likely ceiling for Russian products over the next year, as Russia will have difficulty rerouting products from certain refineries. Russia also remains dependent on the West for refining technical expertise, process licensing, and critical catalysts. The developments in China and Russia put a spotlight on any new refining capacity that might hit the global market, but there are concerns about some of those projects, especially in two countries with historically low refinery utilization rates, Nigeria and Mexico. The biggest individual project slated to come online worldwide is the Dangote refinery being built in Nigeria, which is supposed to come online in 2023 near Lagos with a nameplate capacity of 650,000 barrels per day. The refinery is being built by the privately held Dangote Group, which will own and operate it. Dangote has had success in other businesses, such as fertilizer and cement, but refining is much more complex, and it remains to be seen how well the refinery will operate. The state-owned Nigerian National Petroleum Corporation, or NNPC, which has struggled to operate its own refineries, recently acquired a 20% stake in the refinery. In Mexico, state-owned Petróleos Mexicanos, or Pemex, is advancing its 340,000 barrels per day Dos Bocas refinery in Tabasco State. The refinery is slated for completion in 2023 after a six-month testing phase. Mexico's energy ministry has said the refinery would ramp up to about 240,000 barrels per day in 2023 but would not hit 340,000 barrels per day for a few years. There are concerns about the long-term output of the refinery, which had estimated costs well above its $8 billion budget, given the performance of other Pemex refineries. Average refinery utilization in Mexico was 76.2% in 2015 but dropped all the way to 37.9% in 2020 before a slight rebound last year. It's entirely possible, perhaps even likely, that this project turns out similarly to the Compagre project in Brazil, which was originally proposed in the mid-2000s as an $8.3 billion, 165,000 barrels per day refinery to be completed in 2012. The project suffered from poor planning, incompetence, and was caught up in the Lava Jato investigation, also referred to as Operation Car Wash, Brazil's largest ever corruption probe. The project was eventually cancelled, with no operable refinery units ever completed, in 2019 after Petrobras had spent around $20 billion, estimates vary, on it. Other areas of development are the following. Number 1. While China may be adding the most capacity in the near term, India also is planning three projects, expansions expected to add a combined 276,000 barrels per day of refinery capacity when they come online in 2023. Again, most of the new capacity will be used to produce fuels for domestic consumption. Number 2. The Mideast is adding 1.395 million barrels per day of refining capacity by 2023 that will largely be used to meet export demand. Number 3. The U.S. is expected to add 352,000 barrels per day of capacity by 2023 with expansions at ExxonMobil's Beaumont, Texas, refinery, 250,000 barrels per day, and Valero's Port Arthur, Texas, refinery, 102,000 barrels per day. PBF also announced plans to restart a previously shuttered 50,000 barrels per day crude unit at its Paulsboro, New Jersey, refinery, with a target startup date of mid-August of this year. but those will only offset planned capacity reductions elsewhere, including Phillips 66's 120,000 barrels per day refinery in Rodeo, California, which is being converted to renewable fuels, and LyondellBasell's 264,000 barrels per day refinery in Houston, which the company plans to close by the end of 2023, but which could remain operational if a buyer for the facility comes forward before that date. One project not included on this list is the potential restart of the former Limetree Bay/Hovensa refinery on St. Croix in the U.S. Virgin Islands. The new owner, Port Hamilton Refining and Transportation, is in the process of obtaining permits and financing to effect a restart of that facility. If successful, this would add 180,000 barrels per day of new capacity by as early as second quarter 2023. We've written extensively in recent months about the reluctance of U.S. E&Ps to boost their spending, see our blog series called I Can't Go For That, instead putting their focus on capital and production discipline and maximizing shareholder returns during a time when there is great uncertainty about the direction of the global economy. Some of the primary drivers affecting the decisions of E&Ps are the same for the refining sector, both in the U.S. and abroad. For starters, there are questions about long-term oil demand. Whether the global market is running up against peak oil, the point at which global oil production is at its maximum, is a matter of speculation, but there are a host of factors that have the potential to lower global demand over the long run, including a transition to electric vehicles, or EVs, potentially boosted by recent prices for gasoline, CR1 Shining Moment series, an increased focus on environmental, social and governance, or ESG, concerns, see Almost Famous, which has made it difficult to expand refining capacity in the U.S., and increased fuel efficiency from the new gasoline and diesel-powered vehicles hitting the road in the next few years. Given the uncertainty about long-term demand, all those factors add risk to any plan that involves additional refining capacity. Major projects have a long ramp-up time, anywhere from 3 to 6 years or more is typical from announcement until completion, and a new refinery or major expansion can cost many billions of dollars. That's a big ask when there are investment alternatives that offer the chance of similar, or better, returns without the same level of risk, such as stock buybacks. And it's worth remembering that the same inflationary factors plaguing the global economy, difficulty in finding labor, rising wages, and higher costs for piping and other materials, among other things, impact the refining sector too. In addition, any expansions in the US and Europe would also have to compete with the projects we noted before, largely in Asia, the Middle East and Africa, that will be coming online soon. As such, the outlook for further capacity additions after 2023, even in the Middle East, India, and China, remains murky at best. Investment in new refining capacity was curtailed in 2020 and 2021 due to poor refining margins and increasing fears of peak demand. While refining margins were strong globally in the second quarter of 2022, they have fallen significantly since then. Crack spreads remain at historically high levels, but high energy costs are eating into the profits of most European and Asian refiners, meaning realized margins for most of those refiners are not particularly strong in the current environment, except for those purchasing discounted Russian crude. Unless global demand growth comes in well below our forecasts, we appear to be set up for a decade of tight global refining capacity and strong refining margins, especially in North America, which benefits from the structural advantages we discussed before. Always on My Mind was written by Wayne Carson, Johnny Christopher, and Mark James. Wayne Carson has stated that the song was one long apology for guys who screw up and would love to pick up a phone and tell their significant other that they could have done better. Many artists have recorded the song over the years. It was first recorded by Brenda Lee and first released as a single by Gwen McCrae in 1972. Lee's version went to number 45 on the Billboard Hot Country Song Singles chart in June 1972. Elvis Presley released his version of the song as a double A-side single with Separate Ways in October 1972. It went to number 16 on the Billboard Hot Country Song Singles chart. It would become one of his most popular songs in his live shows. Willie Nelson has Always On My Mind as the second song on his 27th studio album of the same name. Released as a single in March 1982, it went to number 1 on the Billboard Hot Country Songs and number 5 on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles charts. His version won Grammy Awards for Song of the Year, Best Country Song, and Best Male Country Vocal Performance. Personnel on Nelson's version were Willie Nelson, on lead vocal and acoustic guitar, Reggie Young, on electric guitar, Mike Leach, on bass, Bobby Emmons, Tony White, Bobby Wood, on keyboards and Chips Moman, Bobby White, Johnny Christopher, George Talley, Tony White, on backing vocals. Willie Nelson's album, Always On My Mind, was recorded in Nashville during 1981-82, with Chip's Moment producing. It was released in February 1982 and went to number 1 on the Billboard Top Country, and number 2 on the Billboard 200 Albums charts. It has been certified platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. 3 charting singles were released from the LP. The Pet Shop Boys released their synth-pop version of the song as a single in November 1987. It went to number 24 on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart. The song would be featured as the 10th cut on the soundtrack album, It Couldn't Happen Here, featuring the Pet Shop Boys, and released in July 1988. Brenda Lee continues to occasionally record and perform live. Gwen McCrae retired from the music industry in 2012. Elvis Presley died in August 1977. Willie Nelson continues to record and perform live. The Pet Shop Boys continue to record and perform live.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.